Acts chapter number 27. We'll not read all the verses that we read this morning. You can read them, and I'm sure you're familiar with the scripture, with the text and the story. But we'll read our text verse in verse 21. And I use this verse because the two words that form our thought for the message is in this verse. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Note the word loosed and then the word loss. The word loosing is found in verse 13. A similar reference is found in verse 18 where they were lightening the ship. Verse 10, the word damage, it found in verse number 10, has the same meaning as the word loss. You come on down into verse 40 and you find that they loosed the rudder bands. And of course, the word loss is not seen on that word, but it's, you see, it revealed as the ship was broken into pieces. You see loss everywhere in this story. And all of the loss in this story can be attached to where they got loose. Even Paul said in the text verse, you should have not loosed. You should have hearkened unto me. I told you as God's servant, don't loose and sail from Crete. But they would not listen. And as a result of getting loose, they experienced loss. And we gave you several Bible examples this morning, and that was only to name a few of Bible examples of people that got loose in some areas of their life and as a result or consequence experienced loss. And I believe that the Lord just gave me a thought just now that with all of those examples that I gave this morning, plus the one in our text chapter, the loss was a lot greater than what you got loose from. In other words, there's a high price attached to getting loose. Not a one of those examples we gave this morning, not a one of them would say, I'm glad I got loose. I'm glad I, as a child of God, got loose in some areas. No. They experienced the high cost to low living. And there is a high cost to low living. I'm preaching on losing through looseness. That's what we started this with this morning. Losing through looseness. A lot of people think to get loose is the way to avoid the storm. But my experience is that invites the storm. You getting loose allows you to sail into the storm. Now you can have a storm without being loose. But you can't get loose without having a storm. Alright? Let me give you this right here. I didn't mention it this morning. But this word it's translated that is used in Acts 27 as the word loosed is used in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. And when I give you this, you're going to see just a little bit more into why I preach against looseness. Why the Bible is so vocal about loose living. In Luke 4 and verse 5, this same word loosed is used in Luke 4 and verse 5. And the devil, everybody heard that? And the devil, and here's the word, taking him. That's the same identical word, Strong's number 321. Taketh him. It's used also in Acts 9:39. when Peter arose and went with them, when he was come, they, and here's the word, brought him. Strong's number 321. They brought him. The devil taketh him. So we find the very concept of loosed in those verses is somebody else is getting in charge of your life. Somebody else is leading you. Somebody else is bringing you. It's not just a matter of you getting loose. And preacher's none of your business, and church's none of your business, none of the family's business. And me getting loose is my business. Well, it may be your business, but I think that as a pastor, I need to warn you and let you know that you're just not getting loose. There's a devil that's trying to take you somewhere. Now, I want you to get that. I'm telling you, that is meat right there. That the word loosed is used to describe the devil taking him or someone bringing you. So know this, and this is true every case I've ever seen, Brother Cal, every case that I've ever seen, when somebody is getting loose, you can look very easily and see the fingerprints of the devil in their situation. Amen. I'm going to jump ahead right here and make this statement. I've never seen anybody get loose that stayed tight. I've never seen anybody get loose that was interested in wanting to stay tight with the things of God. I thought that was good. Behind every broken home is looseness. Behind, my friend, every divided church is looseness. Behind every prodigal son or daughter is looseness. Behind rebellion is looseness. Amen. Behind unfaithfulness to church is looseness. Amen. Behind collapsed ministries, and they're everywhere, is looseness, Brother Darrell. You and I ought to be more afraid of looseness than we are a rattlesnake. And I want you to know again, just by making that one little statement right there, that when there's looseness coming into your thought life, when there's looseness that's coming into your life in any area, and you know when you're getting loose in some areas. Now let me just say this, friend, your flesh is the same as mine. Your flesh likes it loose. The looser, the better. Your depraved nature don't like restraint, doesn't like, my friend, to be tight. Don't want, no, it wants it to be loose. And you young people, when there's desires in you about wanting to be loose, you better know that's the devil wanting to take you somewhere. That's the book, Luke 4 and 5. I gave it to you. Well, this morning we noticed three thoughts in our introductory comments, and that was, number one, and I'm not going to re-preach them, I'm just going to give them to you, don't confuse looseness with liberty. Now, I spent quite a bit of time studying on this message. Don't confuse looseness with liberty. Number two, don't confuse grace living with worldly living. Well, preacher, I'm worldly, but that's grace. No, we've seen this morning what grace living is. And then number three, do not put looseness under the umbrella of love. The religious world today says if you love something, you'll be loose with it. You won't stand against nothing. If a parent says to a daughter or son, go and do as you please, come home when you please, is that love? That's looseness. That sure isn't love, amen? Anyway, those were the three things we covered this morning. Now let's look in this passage of Scripture, and I want to give you a few things as the Lord will help me. Number one, y'all ready? Number one, verse number 12, I notice, first of all, the popularity of looseness. The popularity of looseness. Look in verse number 12. Well, let's just jump back here and begin in verse number 10. And verse number 10, and Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage. not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, now the man of God said, I perceive, don't do it. Nevertheless, look at this, the popularity. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. So the master and owner of the ship first is speaking out and saying, let's sail, boys. Let's turn loose and let her go. The centurion, the one that was over all the prisoners, agreed with him and said, yeah, let's do it. Hey, I want to promise, I promise you this is true. Is everybody listening tonight? I promise you this is true. If you are talking about looseness, there'll be somebody agree with it. You don't have to go and look too far, and you don't have to look too hard, young people, to find a friend that will agree with your desires and direction of looseness. Well, I think we ought to loose and sail. There'll be friends say, yeah, I believe that's a good idea. I'll go with you. But is that a friend? I don't see but one friend in this whole setting. And that was that man of God that was willing to step up and say, wait a minute, I know everybody. Everybody's wanting to get loose. Everybody wants it loose. Everybody's popular about this thing of looseness. But the man of God, hallelujah, stood up and said, no. Are you listening? The popularity of looseness. Read on. Verse 11. The owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Look at verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, come on, here comes the rest of the crowd. The more part advised to depart thence also. So you've got the master of the ship, you've got the centurion, which no doubt had an influence on all the soldiers, all the prisoners. And then now you've got as the Bible calls them, the more part. So here's a boat with 276 people on board. Everybody's saying, let's get loose, but one person. Is that about the odds of it still yet? Isn't that about the odds of it still yet? Get 276, there might be one that says no, looseness will be a wrong move. Looseness will be a wrong choice. People that are interested, my friend, in looseness are usually driven by circumstances, comfort, convenience, and such like. When they see the south wind blow softly, that's that crowd that'll feel like it's a good move. You make decisions based on feelings, most of the time it's going to be wrong. Amen. Amen. You young people that's never got married, let me tell you, friend, you better beware of your feelings. Amen. Let me let you in on a little secret, big secret, key secret. Feelings lies. Feelings lies. Listen, I preach it all the time, don't want to get sidetracked right here. Don't you know, young people, you ought not to even be interested in somebody that's not material, marriage material. Because what happened is that if you start flirting with and dating or whatever, someone that you know good and well, I'm not interested in marrying that person. They're not marriage quality. They're not marriage material. My friend, next thing you know, you'll have feelings for that person. Next thing you know, you'll have affection for that person. And then when you start to know that I need to break this off, your heart will be bigger than your head. Say amen right there. Amen right there. Well, amen, that's right. The voice of the crowd said, let's get loose. The voice of circumstances, verse 13, said, loose, loose. The voice of the course, the direction they desired, said, let's get loose. Every way they turned, they heard voices of looseness. You young people, I love you. I do. I mean that. I love you, and I know this for a fact, that when you're going through your daily lives, my friend, that you listen or hearing voices of looseness. The voice that comes out of the music of this world, if you boil it all down, it's saying to you, get loose. And promotes rebellion against parents, against authority. If a young lady or young man gets sassy with their parents, there's rebellion in that heart. There's a desire in that heart to, my friend, be loose. I can handle it, preacher. Yeah, can you? You'll be the first one. We'll need to get your autograph because you'll be the first one since Adam and Eve. You can't handle looseness. Looseness will handle you. Amen. Popularity. Everybody on board the ship was crying, loose, let's sail, let's get loose. Everybody but one, that is. There was one, and boy, what an oddball he looked out to be. Are you willing to be an oddball? Are you willing to be the odd voice? Everybody around you, everybody in your family is preaching and singing looseness. But you're standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to be loose in my living. I'm not going to be loose in my home. I'm not going to be loose with my children. Amen. That's right. If you boys and girls ever do get to the point where you like somebody and you see looseness in their life, you better get away from them as fast as you can because they will pull you into the storm. A storm that you will regret ever getting into. Amen? Show me in the Bible how many times the popular voice has ever been right. I believe we saw that in this last election. Amen. Let me say this right here real quickly. I'm going to try to hurry. I got a lot of ground to cover. Everyone in our text that wanted it to be loosed, are y'all listening? Here it comes. This is big. Everybody but one person that wanted it to be loose on that ship was lost. Amen. Brother Mike, everyone but one that wanted it. Well, no, fact is, everyone on the ship that wanted it loose was lost people. So, hello, Tokyo. If you're wanting it loose in your life and you profess to be saved, then who are you like? That crowd that gets mad when you preach against carnality and flesh and worldliness is a crowd, my friend, that wants to be loose. And the bottom line to that looseness is, you're wanting to be like those out there that's lost. Now tell me that won't preach, amen. Is that not the truth? That is the heartbeat behind carnality and flesh and worldliness. That is the heartbeat, is that you want to be like lost people. You don't want to be lost, but you want to share their looseness. That's why most people in our churches, young people included, Brother Darrell, that's why they dress just like lost people. Listen to the same music as lost people. Watch the same garbage as lost people. Have the same dialogue as lost people. You know what it is, my friend? I'll tell you what it is. You want to be saved and go to heaven, but you want to live a worldly life. I don't see that in the Bible, friend. I've been studying and preaching the Word of God almost 30 years, and I want to tell you, dear friend, I've never found that in the Scripture. I want to say it again. Everybody on board the ship that wanted it loose was lost people. People that was living after the natural. So if you're wanting to be loose, then what does that say about you? I've had preachers to nail my hide to the wall, Brother Bob. I've had them, I mean, preach a hide off of me. Are you listening? That's why I'm so little. I mean, preach a hide off of me. Amen. Never once, not once, did I ever get mad at one of them. Not one time did I ever get mad at one of them. My friend, no. Why? Because I knew if anybody loved me, a preacher that'll preach me the truth, loved me. That God loves me to send a message through a messenger to me, about some areas of my life that needed to be addressed. And it's no wonder, Brother Clipper, that most churches today are so full of worldliness is because preachers won't preach it. And the basis behind the fact they won't preach it is that they won't practice it neither. And I'm convinced of this, a preacher that won't preach it is living in it. Say amen right there. Wouldn't I be a fool to preach it and not practice it? All of you would be asleep tonight. Who would want to hear a preacher preach about purity and righteousness and hating sin? But you know, you heard me telling filthy jokes at the barber shop, or you saw me going through town with my Bermudas on. Amen. You wouldn't listen to me 5 minutes and I wouldn't blame you. Amen. No, friend, I try. Listen, I'm far from where I need to be, but I'm telling you, I try to practice what I preach. The popularity of looseness. Let me give you this and I'll move on to point number two. As long as saved people wants to live like lost people, then lost people will never want to live like saved people. Because if saved people's living like lost people, then lost people thinks they're already living like saved people because there is a similarity. The Bible never teaches that we're to be similar, but that we are to be separated. Amen. And the Bible does not teach isolation. I do not preach it. The Bible does not teach it. Isolation. But the Bible, from one end to the other, teaches separation. Amen. By the way, separation is the concept of God. He's the one that came up with the idea. Genesis, He divided, my friend, the animal kingdom. He divided the races. He divided the water from the land. He divided light from darkness. He is the God that, my friend, establishes separation. He even said, don't plant two seeds together. Amen? So if you don't like that separation, get mad at God. It's His idea. All right, let me go on. Amen. The popularity of looseness. Number two, are we ready? Number two, I want to talk about not only the popularity of looseness, I want to talk about the preacher of looseness. The preacher against looseness. Verse 10. Last part of verse, well, let's read verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. That word admonish has the idea of warning. He cautioned them. He warned them. Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. And then again in verse 21, he said, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Are you listening? That one out of 276 on board the ship, that one voice that was crying against looseness was the preacher. The last voice that ever should be silent, my friend, on the subject of looseness should be the pulpit. And I'm going to tell you, friend, the voice of looseness, the preaching against looseness is scarce. You don't hardly ever see it nor hear it. And I'm telling you, friend, I know it's a pet peeve, feels like sometimes, but it aggravates me that my fellow comrades are caving in to the pressure. It bothers me to no end that I can't look around and see a lot of the men of God standing in their pulpits leading their church against looseness. Preaching against it. That's a shame, isn't it? And a church will fill up with what it's not hearing preached. Amen. I don't preach against stuff all the time, and you know that's right. But if I don't hit it every once in a while, you'll think I've changed my mind. You'll think God's changed His mind. Amen. So about once every 6 months, a man ought to preach on everything that moves just to just let everybody know it's still wrong. Many preachers are catering to the popular cry of the people, which is a cry for looseness, because it surely is the easiest route to take. The people listen only to the voice that agrees with what they wanted. The Bible said they had thought they had attained their purpose. South wind blew softly. Everybody said to sail. They listened to the voice that agreed with what they wanted. They thought that through loosing, Brother Carroll, they could attain their purpose. In other words, go where they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do and have what they wanted to have and be where they wanted to be. You better beware of listening to voices that agree with carnal appetites and carnal desires. People view preaching against looseness as a hindrance to them attaining their purpose. Don't they? Isn't that the truth? I'm just going through several of these things the Lord give me. Paul preached it, but the people would not listen. Did not Paul say in our text verse that you should have hearkened unto me? Watch this right here. This is good. You ready for this? A looseness problem is really a listening problem. Paul said the reason you wanted to get loose and you did get loose is because you wouldn't listen. Oh, I don't know at the times, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know at the times when the Lord allowed me to preach, say to young people about romance or whatever, my friend, and I've heard people come to me and say, preacher, oh, I wish I'd have heard that when I was little. I wish I'd had a preacher preach that to me when I was growing up. I probably wouldn't have been in the mess. I probably wouldn't have had the scars in my life that I have. Because you won't listen. Amen? How many young people's wound up in a mess because they wouldn't listen to their parents? Parents were saying, don't loose. Don't get loose. You get loose, you're going to experience loss. And you're not going to like what you lose. You'll regret what you're going to lose. You'll have to live with what you're going to lose. Don't get loose. And they'll do it anyhow. Thinking, well, it won't happen to me. I can handle it. You know? Paul preached it, but they wouldn't listen. A looseness problem is a listening problem. Looseness is rebellion against God's man and message, and thus against God. Listen to this. They heard it, but they wouldn't heed it. How many don't even hear? How many in our part of the country don't even have the privilege of hearing messages preached against loose living because they don't have a preacher that'll preach it? We had an individual in our service this morning that had just left the church and said, preacher, I will never go back. I said, what's the problem? And that individual said that they was somewhat bashing the King James Bible from the pulpit. They was basically saying, throw it in the trash. That was the words they used. If your Bible says thus and so in this particular verse, he said, you need to throw it in the trash. And it was a direct quote from the King James Bible. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not far from here, a very large church. Are you listening? Hello? RBT is becoming a dinosaur in its own age. We're so out of date. We're so out of the fashion of this world that we're looked at as a bunch of nuts, amen? Your preacher is despised. I'm telling you, your preacher is hated by a lot of people. And I don't know why other than I'm preaching against their looseness. I don't preach it all the time. You've been here long enough to know that I don't just preach on things. But I'm not afraid to preach on it if the Lord leads me to. Listen to this really quick. I've got to move on. The Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know what that meant? He preached against the loose living of His day. He preached against their drinking. He preached against, my friend, their immoral and their wicked and loose lifestyles. He was a preacher of righteousness, right living. Where's those preachers at today? Where's those preachers at today? No, if you tune one in and see them on the television, most of them are not even standing in a pulpit. They're sitting up on the stage on a bar stool, amen, with a golf shirt on and drinking a cup of coffee, having a little financial talk with the people. And right underneath their nose, my friend, the very heart of looseness is creeping in. And we've got loose parents today raised in such churches that are raising loose children. And the loose children always be looser than the parents. And then the next generation, Brother Carroll, that goes again. The loose parents will always raise children that'll be looser than they are. Because all children do not adapt to the raisings. And so with each generation, we're losing some spiritual ground. Till now that we are in America, a Christian nation founded upon the Word of God, that now we are living in a country that has very little resemblance of a Christian nation. Our country is quickly becoming as loose as it can be. The only thing they're getting tied on is Christianity. The more weird, the more wicked, the more ungodly you are, the more freedoms you got. But if you're a Jesus lover and a Bible believer and it's in your life as practice, not just in your mouth as a profession, then you're the one that we're going to come against. The preacher. I wonder how many RBTers in your heart and mind would like for Preacher Rackley to loosen up and not preach against looseness. I wonder how many RBTers, when Preacher Rackley gets to preaching against looseness in one area or another, that you in your heart and mind cringe and draw up in a nervous knot and really embarrassed if we've got visitors. Oh, I wish Preacher Rackley wouldn't preach that. We've got visitors. Is it the truth? If it's the truth, you'll say, praise God, I'm glad our visitors is finally getting to hear a man of God that'll preach the truth. I'm serious about that. I really wonder how many RBTers, you'd never say it to my face. You'd never say it to your family. You'd never say it out of your mouth, but in your heart, you would really like to have a preacher that's loose. Maybe not loose, but looser. You maybe don't want a liberal. Probably don't want a liberal preacher. You know, once just anything goes and everything goes. But I wonder how many RBTers would like to have a preacher that would not preach against certain and specific sin. I'm not going to ask for no show of hands because I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying I wonder sometime how many. I wonder how many young people of our church wished your parents was loose or looser. I wonder how many young people of our church are envious of some fellow schoolmates that are raised in loose homes. Mom and Daddy says nothing about where they are, how long they're there, who they're with, what they're listening to, what they're watching, what they're exposed to. And I wonder how many young people are envious of that. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a parent that knows the word no, that has the word no in their vocabulary, and they willing in certain areas of your life to tell you no, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't go here, you shouldn't be around this particular person, I want to tell you, you've got a treasure, and you better thank God, because you follow the record of that loose living bunch. You follow the track record of those young people that's got parents that don't care, and you see, my friend, the tracks of sin in their life. And I've said it here many times, as a pastor, I am not trying to parent your children. But I sure would like to pastor your children. And I think the success rate would be much higher if I had the partnership of the parents. Parents that would not go home and say, I'll tell you, that preacher, you know, preached against this and that and the other, and I think that's just his opinion, and I think he's a little bit, you know, on tangent right there, and I think he's just going off the deep end, and you know what you're doing? You're causing that young person, every time I preach or any preacher preaches, you're causing that young person to have rights or feel like they have rights to second guess what's preached. I had to deal with a person one time, my friend, a young person one time, and the daddy, instead of siding with the preacher, sided with the young person. And I said to the daddy, I said, you know what you just did in front of your child? When you rebuked the pastor, I said, you took every preacher from here on out, you took away their ability to pastor your child. They'll never be able to pastor your child because they know now I don't have to listen to the preacher. Now, I'm not talking about when the preacher's out of the Bible. I'm talking about when the preacher's preaching it right out of the Scripture. Amen. We're talking about the preacher. Talking about the preacher. If you have loose friends, it's because you're loose. You know what the preacher was? The preacher against looseness, he was a man of perception. I may not get done with this, but I'm not going to get in no hurry. He was a man of perception. What the preacher says, or when the preacher says don't, it'd be wise for you to listen. When the preacher says you shouldn't do this, you should listen. How many know he may know something you don't? That's what I pinned down. When the preacher's preaching in an area and you're thinking, I wonder why he's preaching that. He might know something that you don't. Paul perceived before the storm clouds ever come in the horizon. He perceived, Brother Silas, that the voyage was going to be with much hurt and damage. They never saw it, Miss Susan. All they saw was the sunshine and the soft wind blowing softly. That's all they saw. Paul did not see that. Paul saw the consequences. Paul saw the storm. Paul saw, my friend, the loss that was going to come with their looseness. He was a man of perception. God's men ought to get back to being men of perception, being able to sense and perceive what God wants said, even if it goes against circumstances. He was a man of persistence, number two. He stayed true. His spirituality and his message never changed. In fact, when he come into verse 21, after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should hearken unto me and not have loosed from Crete. Hey, guess what? And to have gained this harm and loss. That's what he said up in verse 10. So he's preaching the same message that he preached before. He's a man of persistence. He's a man of persistence. Amen? When we don't preach based on if people do or don't do, or listen or don't listen, or like or don't like. We preach because we have a word from God. And watch this right here. Now, I jotted this down. Lord, give it to me. The leadership of God's man was God's leadership in this story. Did you hear that right there? The leadership of Paul in this passage was the leadership of God. Amen? And I believe as long as God's man does not go cross-grain with God's Word, I believe that you're obligated to follow. Paul said, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. When I deviate from Christ's likeness, when I deviate from the principles of this Word, and you see that it's very plain that I'm going in error, you have a scriptural right not only to not follow, but you have a scriptural right, my friend, to deal with me with church discipline. That's right, amen. Well, y'all done pretty good. I was preaching on everything but the preacher. Now I'm on the preacher and you draw it, tightening up a little bit, amen. Amen. He's a man of persistence. He's a man of purpose. Paul was a prisoner, but he knew he was more than a prisoner. He knew he was there on purpose. God had a plan for his life. Number four, he was a man of prayer. Verse 21 and 23, he was a man that spent some time with God in prayer. Could I mention a third thing? And I may finish this. I may just end up right here on number three. And we may come back and deal with some more later. Or I may just run through it, whatever. But number three, not only have we noticed, what was number one? Let me write it down. Number one was the popularity of looseness. I should have waited for an answer. The popularity of looseness, then the preacher against looseness. Number three, the perils of looseness. This will be a short point, but how many times in our text do you think that it went through their mind, I wish we'd have listened to God's man. Everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. Listen to this. The life that won't listen to preaching will experience perils. Will experience perils. Looseness is not the way to deal with storms. Looseness does not avoid storms, but invites storms. In fact, looseness took them toward the storm. Perils of looseness. Number four, the progression of looseness. Now I want you to get this right here. Everybody listening to me? The progression of looseness. Once they started loosing, it got worse. Once it started loosing, they loosed from Phinehas of Crete, verse 13, and then they went and was led to Claudia, and then loosing the anchors and the rudder band, verse 40, the very necessary things for stability and direction. And once loosing started, it was very difficult to ever get a rope on it again. Looseness always gets worse, progressively worse. And here's the areas I want you to consider. If you're writing them down, write this down. The progression of looseness. Number one, looseness leads to leaving. You know what they did when they loosed? They launched. You know why some people want to get loose? They're wanting to leave. The prodigal in Luke 15 got loose. Why? He wanted to leave. He wanted to get in a far country, and he knew he couldn't get in a far country until he got loose. Looseness and leaving goes together. People that goes declining in their spirituality won't be long till they're departing. They're departing. Getting unhooked and getting untied so you can be loose and leave. Listen to this. What normally happens to those that get loose is that they end up getting blown about by the winds of life. Just here to yonder, wherever. Amen? I've never known anyone that got loose that stayed tight. I've never known anyone to leave a good, tight preaching church that went to a tighter church. Most people that leaves a good Bible-believing church, they're going to look for some church that's looser. Most of the time is the case. Most of the time. There's the progression of looseness. Looseness leads to leaving. Number two, looseness leads to laboring. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. Did you notice that? Much work come by the ship. Had to get some helps. Had to do the undergirding of the ship. You know what all that was about? All that extra unnecessary labor? You know what that come from? People getting loose. All of that right there, Brother Silas, come from them getting loose. Had they not got loose, listen to God's man that was preaching against it, delivering direction in their life, guess what? If they'd have listened, guess what would have happened? They would not have had been doing this much work to the ship. Amen. Number three, looseness leads to leaving, looseness leads to laboring, and looseness leads to lightening the ship. Verse number 18 and 19, guess what they started doing? And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day, guess what they did? They lightened the ship. They started leaving. Brought about some breakdowns and required laboring. And then now, guess what's happening? They're starting to throw things away. They're starting to throw things aside. Probably necessary things. In fact, one place it calls it the tackling of the ship. They start throwing aside the tackling of the ship. They even cut the rudder band. The very thing that's necessary for driving a boat. Well, when you get loose, it won't be long. You're going to make some foolish choices. How many people have thrown aside things in their life that they needed? Loosing leads to leaving, to leaving, laboring, and then lightning. Throwing away the essentials. You say, preacher, that's about a ship, but I could say the same thing about some lives. I've seen young people throw away some things. I've seen families throw away some things, and I couldn't believe this, throwing it away. Spiritual things that would help them in the time of the storm. And then number five, if you're taking notes, not only those that we've mentioned, but number five, not only the progression of the looseness, but also number five, the pieces of looseness. You know what the end result of looseness is? Just pieces. The ship that once was a stately vessel, Brother Bruce, carrying cargo, running voyages, my friend, with a purpose, now is nothing but just broken pieces. Nothing but broken pieces. Started out one way, but ended up another. Just broken, loose pieces. That's what's left to loose living. And that's why I preach against it. Because I care about your life, and I care about how you turn out. I'm not interested just how you are now. I'm interested in how you're going to be 10 years from now. Amen. Pieces. The pieces of looseness. Listen to this. Pieces that would have never... Listen. This is a good point. Pieces that will never be able to be put back together again. What once was a ship now is nothing but broken pieces. Pieces that'll never be nothing more than just pieces. The devil's number one ultimate desire in the end of you being loose in your life, me being loose, is to break your life up into pieces. He cares nothing about you. Amen. Looseness may seem for a while to be the convenient, the comfortable choice, but in the end, it's costly. There is a high cost to loose living, and I'm closing with this statement right here. Paul said it this way. Boy, I seen this morning. Listen right here. I know it's hot. I know we're about done. Paul says, in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, well, I hope we get this. I'm talking about the pieces of looseness. The pieces. Paul is saying right here, I want you to get it. Paul is saying, you're going to lose everything but your life. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, you may have to live with your losses. You're still going to be alive, but you're going to be living every day with emptiness and with losses. Paul said, your life, you're not going to lose your life. Paul said, the ship's going to be destroyed. He said, but your life's going to be spared. And I thought, you know what? How many people do we all know in this building? They're alive, but their life is filled with lost things. Just losing. Every way they turn, just losing. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to do right. I want to do right, friend. I want you to do right. I want our church to be right. I do. It bothers me. I just tell you, it bothers me when people don't. It bothers me when I preach, especially been here 18 years, and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, and still got people that does not listen. As I mentioned this morning, I don't break fellowship with you. I don't get mad at you. I don't treat you like a complete rejected heathen. I'll love on you. I'll fellowship with you. I'll talk to you. I'll amen and pray for you. But it still hurts. It still hurts. Still hurts when I see pieces. When I just see pieces. When once, watch this right here. When once you sat on the RBT pews, there was potential. And through a progression and series of not listening and getting looser and looser in some areas, the next end result is, have you seen so-and-so lately? Yeah. Their life's a wreck. Just nothing but pieces. Just nothing but pieces. So I hope that you see this principle in this passage of losing through looseness. And I hope that you will take heed to it and receive it as a message from the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we do ask You, dear Lord, that You will help us tonight. God, I ask that Your will be done tonight in this service. People needs to be honest with themselves, Lord. People needs to be honest with themselves on dealing with looseness in their life. Young people needs to be honest with themselves as they see looseness coming into their attitude, looseness coming into their desires, looseness coming into their lives spiritually. Lord, I pray they'll know that there's nothing good going to come through it. It's just going to end up with pieces. Help young people to be in acting wisdom. Help mamas and daddies today to realize the damage that looseness does in a home and in our lives. Drive home the message, I pray, we'll give You thanks for it. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.